Well, there's not quite time for a children's talk this morning, but I wonder if any of the children could help me. I wonder if any of the children who are at camp could help me with the last memory verse we learnt on Friday. Every day they learnt a memory verse, all from Matthew's Gospel. And on the Friday we learnt one more, but there was never a chance to check if you learnt it. And it was the last words that Jesus ever said. While he was here on earth, before he went back up into heaven, he said one final thing with his disciples. Any of you remember what it might have been? Any of those who are on camp remember it? It's written on a big leaf. We wrote them all on big leaves. And it begins, and surely. And surely. That's right, nearly there, yeah. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that was the memory verse we were learning on the Friday at camp, just gone. Now, if you look it up, it's Matthew chapter 28, and we're just going to read those last couple of verses there in the Church Bibles, page 881, Matthew chapter 28. And as we said, Jesus, the last time he spoke with his disciples after he'd risen from the dead, he said to them this in verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." And then it says this bit, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, later on, in a little while, we're going to go and have the baptism up at the lake where you were camping last week. And I'm going to say some of those words. When Innie and Bev are baptized, we'll say they're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you children then need to lead the adults in saying this. Okay. This wonderful promise that we are given. Shall we give another practice? "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so as we come and learn of Jesus and become disciples of his, as we are baptized and taught, we'll look at those in a time more in a moment, he's promised to be with us always. And so when we dunk Innie in the water and Bev in the water and bring them up out of the water, after saying those words, they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll have to say this. One more practice. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's a promise for Innie, a promise for Bev, and a promise for each one of us. So don't forget your memory verse. You've got an important task. And look back up at the lake in a minute. Okay, it's not even going to say that. Never mind. Let's think a few minutes about those words that Jesus just said there. Being baptized. That's what we're going to come and think about this morning. That's what Innie and Bev have chosen to do. But it's important just to realise that doesn't make you a Christian. Nor does, as some of them have mentioned, nor does being born in a Christian family. Nor does ticking a box on a census make you a Christian. Nor does being christened as a baby. Nor does going to church make you a Christian. So it's important to be clear this morning on what it is that makes us a Christian. Some of these things we've heard from Innie and Beth. It's becoming a disciple of Jesus. That's what Jesus said to his disciples, telling them to go and make more disciples. A disciple is someone who's learning from Jesus. They don't know everything. They're starting to learn of Jesus, and they're going to keep on learning from Jesus. And so being baptized isn't saying I've got it all sorted, but it's saying I've started to learn of Jesus. And he said, "Go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them," verse 20, "teaching them all the things I've taught you." Being taught everything. Everything that Jesus taught his disciples, they wrote down, like Matthew, in his gospel, so that we could learn it too. So we could be taught everything we're going to need from God's word. And then carrying on following him day by day. So what is it that Jesus wants us to be taught? Well, we've got a whole Bible full of that. But let's just look at a couple of individual things, a couple of basic things that Jesus wants us to be taught that we might become disciples of his too. They're written up here on the screen. One's in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter was preaching, one of those disciples, and he was teaching these new people the things Jesus had taught him, and he said this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, the crowd, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So that's one thing. One thing important that Peter taught those people, that Jesus had taught him, that we need to know too, that we need to repent. They have mentioned that in their testimonies of realizing their sins, realizing our sins, and realizing that we repent of those, we confess those sins, and that wonderful forgiveness that Jesus can give. That gift of forgiveness, that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing that we need to know. What about in Romans chapter 5, verse 8? Here's another verse that was quoted already by Bev, I think. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's again one of the things that Jesus wants his disciples to know, that he died. He died for us while we were sinners. And so we ask him. We ask for that forgiveness. We ask him to take those sins. And he promised that he would pay the price for them. For Christ died for us. And we come to know that for ourselves. That's one of those basics that we need to know. What about another one? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul says this time, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and then by many others as well." And Paul writes down of what Jesus did, those facts. But he says, this is what happened. It's written down in the scriptures. It's the truth. That Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And so we come to believe those things, trust those things that Jesus did, that really happened to him. And we believe that truth. One more verse. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, where it says, Who Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And so we believe not just those facts, that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, but we believe that he did it for us. It becomes a personal trust, not just a head knowledge, but it becomes a heart knowledge of knowing that that really happened for us. And that Jesus took our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, and died for us. And now we're going to live for righteousness. So baptism, those basics of what Jesus wants us to know, that's how we become a Christian. By repenting of our sins, by asking Jesus to save us and forgive us, by believing what Jesus has done, and trusting that Jesus did it and died for me, for you. And then baptism comes next. He says, be baptized. Go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing them. And baptizing is a public declaration. It's saying, this is something I don't mind if everyone knows. I want everyone to know it. It becomes a personal faith, and then it becomes declared publicly. It's a serious decision. It's an opportunity to count the cost, as Jesus said, and think about, do I really, really want to follow Jesus and carry on being a disciple of his every day? That's then to obey the command of being baptized. And again, it shows us a little bit of that new life that's begun, that we carry on after that. So as we think about baptism, we haven't had a baptism in the church for 14 years. So that's a long time to go without a baptism. I've never been baptized before. I've only baptized one person before, and that's 14 years ago. So I thought we'd have a little practice with a bowl of water here, and a Lego man will guide us in this process. Just to think through what happens. Maybe this will reassure Innie and Bev as well. Just to think through what's going to going to happen. So we've got a big bowl of water here. And in baptism, there are three simple steps. One is going in the water. That's step one. That might sound very obvious. That's what's going to happen. You go into the water. Step one. Then step two is the dunking underneath. And so the person goes back in the water. I'll hold the Lego man down a moment. Well, we won't hold you guys. Then there's a second step. In the water. Or under the water. Just for a moment. Then they bob back up again. Just as the Lego man did. That's what happened to Winnie and Bev as well. Come back off the water. Three steps. Very obvious. Very straightforward. But they're there to represent something. And in Romans chapter 6, we're told this. And verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. There's those three steps. Into the water, under the water, out of the water. And those three steps, Paul's saying in Romans, demonstrate three things. One, going into the water is a symbol of dying. And I did have a little dip in the lake yesterday, just to check it wasn't too slippery. And it does take your breath away a bit. It's not very warm. And that's part of it. You step into the water and think, ooh, it's cold, it's cold. It is a little bit. It represents a bit of death. And then when they're dunked under the water goes back over the top. It's sort of dead and buried. Just for an instant. Just for an instant. And then up out of the water again, a sign of resurrection. So there's those three steps down in the lake, or here for our Lego man. And what are we saying by those things? It's a picture that Jesus gave us. He gave us two. He gave us this one and the Lord's Supper. And they're beautiful pictures to help us. Jesus said about the Last Supper, do this to remember me. And it helps us to remember, doesn't it? Just to think through those steps. So we believe that Jesus did it, as we read earlier in 2 Corinthians. We believe, according to the scriptures, that Jesus died for our sins. And then he was buried. And then he rose again. That's what we believe. And so we're kind of just sort of representing that a little bit with baptism. To remind us of those things that Jesus did. Just like the bread and wine at the Lord's Supper are meant to make us think about Jesus' body and blood that he gave for us. This is here to demonstrate again a bit of what did Jesus do? He died. He was buried. He rose again. We go into the water, under the water, up, out of the water. And we demonstrate the same thing. It's said about the Lord's Supper, we proclaim his death. That's our hope. And that's what we're doing in baptism too. But another bit to it. We believe that Jesus did it for me, for us, for Innie and for Bev. They believe it didn't just happen factually and just happen historically a long time ago that Jesus did those things, but that Jesus did it for them. And that by faith, we're connected then with Jesus. We're plugged into what he did. Our hope is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for me. So it's not just a fact, but it becomes something personal. Does that make sense? And I think we heard something of that in Innie and Bev's testimonies, didn't we? That they began to realize this was true for them and Jesus had done it for them. And so that's what Innie and Bev are going to demonstrate by being baptized, their belief in what Christ did for them. And one last thing. And that actually happened to me too. That's the strangest bit, I guess, to think about. But those three steps of death, burial and resurrection, Innie and Bev have come to realize that that happened for them too. That they were dead. They were dead in sins. And have now been raised with Christ. They've been born again. That's happened already. And so they're going to demonstrate it in baptism. It might sound weird, but in a minute we're going to go up to the farm for a burial. We're going to bury Innie and Bev in the water as a demonstration that they know they were dead in sins. So we're going to dunk them in the water. The water will go over the top. Dead. It's like they're dead and buried. But then we'll bring them out. We'll bring them quickly back up again. And it's a demonstration of new life. A life that's begun with Christ. And so, in some ways, we're saying goodbye to the old Innie, the old Beth. They're gone. Now a new life is beginning, or has begun already, in Christ. We're going to demonstrate it with baptism. Then a new life's begun. They've been set free. The chains are gone. Those things are done away with. Christ did those things. He did them for them. And those things happened to them too, in a way. They've died. They were buried. And now they've got a new life that's begun in Christ. And so go to the lake in a minute for a burial. And to celebrate a new life that's begun as well. And maybe thinking through those things and hearing of Bev and Innie's testimony has given you some things to think about as well. Maybe to think about where you stand before God. Have you been saved? Have you been rescued? Have you been forgiven? Do you know that reality? You've been plugged into that life that Christ has won. What it is to have died with Christ, be buried. Now to live with him, to live for righteousness, a new life that we may walk in newness of life. You can always come and talk to Beth, talk to Innie, talk to myself or somebody else. If you've got some questions and things like that as well. We're going to sing one last hymn, and then we'd better be on our way to the burial, to that celebration of what Christ has done.